Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And just like that, there goes April. Welcome, everybody. It is Thursday morning, the 30th of April, 2024. Thank you for being here. Lots to talk about today. And there's a question I want to surround a lot of it with, and that is the country ready to grasp what's going on? Some things year in and year out are political. Obviously, that's been my whole talk show life, is liberal views versus conservative views, and the many angles of which that other things can come in, from libertarianism to populism, along a spectrum of issues like taxes and borders and even abortion rights and, you know, spending. That's been the steady narrative of life. There is something about right now where basic decency is hanging in the balance, where some very fundamental things in life are up for debate or sliding off the rails. If you just take a look at the news, you take a look at students not allowed to walk into a building because they are blockaded by Hamas-loving hooligans, and no one does anything. That's Columbia. That's UCLA. At the University of Texas, they're doing something. They are arresting people, thank God. And Jay Hartzell, the president of the University of Texas, a liberal university in a leftist enclave town, our state capital of Austin, did the right thing. And now, of course, the faculty council is coming after him. Like 500 members of the faculty council say the president of UT did the wrong thing. Are you sending your kids to this place? This kills me. This kills me. It's the University of Texas. And look, I cast a broad brush. You know, I was born in San Antonio. Thank you, U.S. military. Got to live in a lot of interesting places. Grew up in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. My degree is from the University of the People's Republic of Maryland, before it really became such, and I'm proud of it. It was a great place to grow up. And now back in my native Texas doing talk shows for 30 years, I come in and I'm all about Texas, all about A&M, all about TCU, all about SMU, all about Tech, guns up, all about UNT. Are any of them really any different? And that just adds another layer. You can't send your kids to college anymore without sending them into a minefield of leftist insanity. I mean, how many Hillsdales and Dallas Baptists and Patrick Henrys are there? Well, the answer is there need to be more. And let's just come away from college education. Let's go to just literally right now, actually, the concept of where you send your kids for a college education. The notion of what's happening on the campuses that we have. Said that UT is doing the right thing. University of Florida sent out the University of Florida sent out a little something something, saying essentially, we're not a daycare. We are. Let me read this. From University of Florida, Gainesville, Ron DeSantis's Florida. In response to the arrests made of protesters this evening at the University of Florida campus, below is a statement that is attributable to UF spokesman Steve Orlando. And if your name is Steve Orlando, you're going to be you're going to have a job in Florida. This, he says, this is not complicated. The University of Florida is not a daycare, and we do not treat protesters like children. They knew the rules. They broke the rules. They will face the consequences. For many days, we have patiently told protesters, many of whom are outside agitators, that they were able to exercise their right to free speech and free assembly. And we also told them that clearly prohibited activities would result in a trespassing order from university police. barring them from all university properties for 3 years and an interim suspension from the university. For days, the university police department patiently and consistently reiterated the rules. Today, individuals who refused to comply were arrested after university police gave multiple warnings and multiple opportunities to comply. That's how you do it. Yet, why isn't it happening at Columbia, where last night a deadline, these people and their deadlines and their red lines and their lines in the sand? You got till 9 o'clock to disband the tent cities at Columbia. You know what they did? They did leave the tent city. They went inside. They went inside the university building, the president's office, and took it over. And the university did nothing. Columbia is private property. It's like a big house, meaning you got to, you know, if somebody's in my house, hey, police, will you come in? The NYPD can't flood onto the campus at Columbia, I guess, unless they're asked. Really? What if you have an active shooter at Columbia? That always struck me as weird. Anyway, though, but nobody's doing anything. Nobody's doing anything. And this guy, I want to play this video in a minute. Here's the most famous college kid in America today, and he's a hero, and God bless him. He's a Jewish kid at UCLA. Good luck with that. And somebody is shooting video of him attempting to, I don't know, walk into a building. And there's a line of masked cowards, like arms locked, won't let him through. What? Is this Little Rock 1957? What? And by the way, I invoke that on purpose because we are getting really close. We may have reached call in the National Guard time here, and I am dead serious. And if we had a real president, this probably would have happened by now. And do not get me started on our current president. Or you can if you wish. Because whether it is some police whom we will mourn out of Charlotte, North Carolina, killed overnight just serving a warrant, whether it is protests turned violent, whether it is anti-Semitism running rampant, what side is Joe Biden on? What side are you on if you're thinking about facilitating and enabling a second term of this crypt keeper president? What side are you on? And maybe you're pro-choice, and maybe you don't really care if we have a border. Look, liberalism, I get it. I get it. Disagree with it, but I get it. But that brings me back to just the basic core decency, the basic values. And this is funny because the left tries this on us all the time. Joe Biden, as he wheezed his way through the White House Correspondents' Dinner, that dinosaur of an event, said, I'm not asking you to take sides. I don't want you to take sides. I want you to rise to the moment. Rise to the moment? Yeah, to beat Trump. Because in the minds of these people, you are the threat to democracy. He is what places, you know, the Constitution in peril. By doing what? By having conservative policies. It ain't about January 6th. It's not about election challenges. It's what they're using to smear millions of people who know we got screwed in 2020. And yet there's a bitter, weird, cruel irony to these people saying we're the problem. Nicole Wallace, MSNBC. I'm really worried that 7 months from now I may not have a show. Honey, I promise you, you'll have a show. Trump wants you to have a show. Have you met him? Have you paid any attention? This thing that Trump's going to go through and shut down, you know, the leftist media soapboxes, he lives to take you folks on. He lives for it. You guys are the ones who shut down voices you disagree with. No less than Jerry Seinfeld the other day. Have you heard his rant on he's on a podcast with somebody, and he said, listen, this is the problem with the left and the PC crap is you used to be able to, and this is part of this was sort of old guy syndrome from Jerry, so I identified. He said, we all used to go home at night and watch television. We'd gather and we'd all watch the same shows, talk about them the following morning. It was a water cooler kind of conviviality in America. And generally speaking, you knew that when you went home, there was going to be an All in the Family. There was going to be an episode of MASH. There was going to be an episode of Cheers. There was going to be an episode of Mary Tyler Moore. You were going to go home, sit down, and there would be funny stuff on television. Where is it? Where did it go? Now you go home and you're just get your finger wagged, fingers wagged at you, and you're lectured, and there's all these hugs and learning supposedly, and it's just garbage. Now there's plenty of good and funny stuff, you know, out there, you know, in the Netflix world and the online world and the streaming world, and stand up comedy remains the sliver of destination where people still really have free speech for the most part. So. The shutting down. What side is Joe Biden on? Just once again, every single thing of these things, and I'm talking about borders, I'm talking about, you know, taxes, just what side are you on? I mean, before we even get to the notion of you're on the side that's okay with baby killing, before we even get to all the other policy issues I've been talking about for decades, what side are you on? Are you on the side that says that the profession practiced by these Charlotte, North Carolina law enforcement figures? Three were in the Federal Marshals Task Force, and one was a Charlotte, Mecklenburg County police officer. Killed serving a warrant. Four of them killed. What side are you on? Are you on the side that lifts them up and thanks God that we have people cut from cloth as fine to put on the uniform and serve and protect us every day? Or are you on the side that says that cops are racist? What side are you on? Here's a lady we probably need to talk about a little bit today. And I, you know, in a way, it's like every couple of days, hey, Mark, how about Tulsi Gabbard as Trump's VP? And it's like, all right. It's like, eh. But you know what? I'm going to have to pay attention to this. I got a question I'll ask you today. First of all, she has a book out. I mean, For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. Wow. Okay. And by the way, she did. She is a veteran, former Hawaii congresswoman, and just a neat lady all around. So when people have floated this every, and I think we are, as conservatives, we are very endeared to people who come from the left, or come from liberalism, come from the Democrat Party, and get better. Well, John Fetterman went to an actual mental hospital and came out less liberal. There's a lesson in that for many, perhaps. So if Fetterman is good and strong on Israel, or Tulsi Gabbard is on Fox News every 10 minutes saying conservative things, like, wow, RFK Jr. is not crazy left on a whole lot of things. It's like, wow, look at this guy. Isn't he great? And by the way, good for them. Does it mean that any of these folks need to be Trump's VP? Bill Maher. God bless Bill Maher. Love him. But that doesn't mean these folks have become conservative. All right. So the last 43 times somebody has mentioned to me about Tulsi Gabbard as Trump's VP, it's like, okay, stop it. She's kind of a shiny object, and she's interesting, and God bless her, by the way. She's a neat lady. I like her a lot. But she retains her liberalism on at least a few things, and that's problematic for me, a heartbeat away from the presidency, okay? But then I stub my toe on something a little bit, and maybe you do too. The only reason and by the way, she was on the Dave Portnoy podcast, and he flat out asked her, Trump calls you, would you be his VP? She said, absolutely. I'm like, okay. okay. So here's my question, because this is dismissible. Unless she uniquely helps him win. Now, the only reason that I would even remotely start to actively weigh this is if I thought he couldn't win with a real conservative VP, couldn't win with J.D. Vance, couldn't win with Byron Donalds, couldn't win with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, couldn't win, you know, with Lee Zeldin, couldn't win with DeSantis. So if I thought that we're just that's just not going to happen, he needs to do something really kind of crazy and bold and put up the half court shot and, you know, run with a recovering Democrat. Well, okay. And maybe there's some folk, maybe that's where the Tulsi passions come from, is they think Trump just can't win otherwise with an actual conservative VP. See, silly me, I think he can't. I think he can. So I'm going to ask my talk show buddy, Mike Gallagher, about that. I'm going to ask Mike a lot of things coming up at 7:35. For right now, I ask you to join me for this. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. Lord, welcome into your loving arms these four law enforcement heroes in Charlotte, and bless every man and woman who puts on the uniform of law enforcement, the uniform of our military, and guide our nation to appreciate and support them every day. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn and fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. 866-660-5759. That's how you talk to us on the phone. That's how you text us on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. We are in Oak Point. Kevin, good Tuesday morning. How are you?
Pretty good, Mark. I was hoping I could talk to you before you got to the prayer, because I was going to ask you to add one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we haven't reached the point in our country that we have returned to the days of the KKK. And let me qualify that, because I think it's important to note that the amount of hate and violence, bigotry, and all of that crap was going on in the 1950s and the 1960s. That kind of hate is being spread in our country today. And currently, yes, it's being turned against the Jewish part of our population. The thing is, the KKK hated the Jews as much as they hated black people. And I can tell you right now, just from my perspective, and I've thought on this for about a week, if you are a person of color in this country, or you are a person who is Jewish or some other ethnic group, that hate can be turned on you in a second, and you know this. So if you support this crap going on, that means you want to return to the days of the KKK.
Yeah, and in invoking past decades, the 60s, the 50s, I tell you, on some of these college campuses, it's in the 1930s, and it's Germany. And again, I know it's what's the there's the theory of it. But given an indefinite amount of time, somebody at some point will invoke Hitler, usually haphazardly and without basis. But this is completely without basis. This is the targeting of Jewish people driven by anti-Semitism. And as you talk about the return of bigotry, it's an opportunity. And Kevin, thank you enormously. We'll talk to you for 30 seconds about political bigotry. There is a very famous, just overnight, James Carville has gone from being sort of the sort of semi-charming, edgy, smart, raging Cajun analyst who masterminded the Clinton ascendancy. That's James Carville of old. Now he is a sad, broken man, a caricature spewing hate at younger voters who are souring on the Democrat Party. There's a profane stretch of video of him. And it's like, you young people, if you don't vote, because they're not talking about issues that I care about. I mean, the mockery. God, I hope Mary Madeline's okay. The mockery. Says if you're not attentive to this, Trump, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, you'll have no government. You'll have no country. You'll have a theocracy. This is what I mean by political bigotry. If you hate somebody for being Jewish, that's religious bigotry. Hate somebody for being black, Hispanic, or white, racial bigotry. Political bigotry is rampant. Disagreement is fine. I think your ideas are terrible. Oh, yeah, well, I think your ideas are terrible. Tell me why. I'll tell you why. Political bigotry is hating somebody's guts because of what they believe politically. And the left practices this every day. 726. 7:26.
will see me through.
The night has a thousand eyes. How many eyes does the morning have? Well, our eyes and ears are pointed toward the Mike Gallagher segment, which is right after the news. Bobby V here from 1961. Or because of his birthday. Would have been 81. Passed away back in 16. Do a little take good care of my baby. Night is a thousand eyes. How many tears? The great Bobby V. All right, let's head into the newsroom. Come back on the other side. Say hi to Mike. Nikki Whaley is there.
Yep.
So not just one host, but two. This is, of course, it's a cheesy way to plug, and it's coming up tomorrow. We'll be able to say it's next month. End of June, as July 4th approaches, the Patriots Alaska cruise with Mike Gallagher and Dr. Gorka. But the reason there, that's Johnny Horton, Mike, from 1960 and North to Alaska. Johnny Horton, born this date, 1925. Boom. See nice. What I did? Two things at nice. Once. Two things at once.
I like you're a good team player. Have there you guys go. Ever done an Alaskan cruise?
No.
Nothing like it. There's nothing like it. I mean, for anybody who's ever gone on a cruise, there's an image of you go out to sea, you never see land. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Denise dragged me on a cruise about 30 years ago, and I thought, I hate this. And I fell in love with it. It was one of the best ways I've ever vacationed. You get off, you go from port to port.
You unpack one time.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and the service is great, the food. Well, we've got this Patriots Alaska cruise, big contingent from coming from Dallas-Fort Worth, so a lot of people signed up. We've got nearly 400 people ready to go. So June 29th, July the 6th, PatriotsAlaskaCruise.com. And Dr. G has never been in Alaska Sweet. Or a cruise at all, so that's going to be pretty cool. So I'm excited to see him, and we're going to have a good time. And we'll be talking about things like this bombshell CNN poll that I think dwarfs the stories of all the college campuses exploding with anti-Semitic protests. You know, I mean, it's real. We can't avoid it. We can't look away as these protesters are now breaching buildings and literally entering buildings and barricading themselves and all this other nonsense. But there's a solution. You think Trump would put up with this
crap?
Well,
that's why I think they're related, that the collapse of Biden's support is – and listen, I don't want to overstate this or simplify it, but in certain ways, in certain avenues, there are Americans who might not be particularly ideologically wired who are just looking at the college campus nonsense and the complete lack of a border and the complete collapse of the economy and saying, wait a minute, Trump would be doing something about these things.
Well, and it's – I don't want to nitpick here. It's way deeper than just college kids and some rambunctious nonsense.
Correct.
This is evil. If you've seen some of the video where Jewish kids have been prevented from going to class, they put up a barrier. Now, picture a black kid being prevented from going to class.
Yeah, white kids with arms locked saying, you ain't getting into this building.
You're not getting past us.
We would know that kid's name. He'd be the most famous evil soul in America. The National Guard would have been called in to do something about it, which, by the way, I would support all of the above.
Here's the thing. All these faculties are supporting the pro-Hamas demonstrators.
I mean,
they're demanding the reinstatement of some of these punks who have been expelled. They're demanding that no police be on campus.
The dropping of charges if they are arrested. They're demanding that the charges be instantly dropped.
So it's not just – you can't just dismiss this as saying these are college kids. These are adults who ought to know better. These are adults who ought to know better, and they are absolutely pro-Hamas. Now they're trying to tone it down. I saw a commentary somewhere late last night before I went to bed. I was reading where they're smart enough to say, hey, we got to tamp down the pro-Hamas stuff a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that might fool everybody. So, again, like you and I know, there is an answer to this, and it's coming November 5th. And the headline out of the Wall Street Journal this morning is really, eye-opening. A CNN poll, most voters say no chance they'll support Joe Biden. No chance. 52% say there's no chance they would vote for Joe Biden. 47% say there's no chance they could back Donald Trump. This is one of the wildest presidential races in American history, just to be sure. But here's the bottom line, Mark, and I mean this sincerely. I'm going to double down. No way this guy is on the ballot November the 5th. There's no way. This is a CNN poll that came out over the weekend, Mark.
I know. And it has to resonate. And it's resonating in Democrat land. Have you seen the James Carville Crypt Keeper video? Have you seen him just railing against young voters because he can't believe that young voters don't realize that Republicans are as evil as everybody says, as he says?
I mean, hey, yeah, call it cursing them out, you effing little 26-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, that'll really win over
that's
hearts
charming.
And minds.
That's the charm offensive.
That's a good approach. Yeah, that'll get a lot of young voters to your corner there, serpent head. Did you see Nancy Pelosi take Katie Turr's head off?
Yes, Katie Turr on MSNBC is welcoming Nancy Pelosi, and Pelosi says, Biden has created this many jobs. Nobody had a worse record than Trump. Trump had the worst job record, and Katie Turr on MSNBC said, there was a global pandemic. And Nancy Pelosi stops in her tracks and goes, what? But Biden had more jobs than Trump. If you want to be a Trump apologist, you go ahead. And Katie Turr said, I don't think anyone will accuse me of that.
However, Katie Turr apparently does get dragged pretty regularly. And I didn't know this about her. I don't know much about her. I try never to watch MSNBC or CNN if I can help it. The team gives me clips. And apparently she trends pretty regularly on Twitter for saying things like that, daring to go off the script.
Good for
you. And the beauty of the clip, Mark, is the way Nancy Pelosi is shocked.
Vapor locks.
It's like,
yep.
It's like, how dare you say that? And incidentally, she's right. It's the biggest lie they tell. Oh, Joe Biden created jobs. No, he didn't. He shut down the country. The country got locked up. That we lost all these jobs, and then finally, thank the Lord, they started coming back, and they're taking credit for that?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. Shut the heck up. Get out of town. You know, so anyway, it's a wow, what a time right now. And then some very real horrible things happening. 4 law enforcement officers shot dead outside of Charlotte. Just a horrible Monday shootout. And I was on the plane yesterday coming back from New York. And I could not believe right away, the gun grabbers, they don't even let the bodies get cold before they start saying, you know what, it's time to look at this gun violence is a gun violence. Mm-hmm. So you had some lunatic hold up in a house that they were trying to serve a warrant on who had a bunch of and he fires and 8 of them, eight cops shot and 4 killed. Just Charlotte is grieving. The country grieves. You know what we need right now, my friend? And you say it every morning, and you inspire me. I always try to time it out, so I'm going over that Howard Franklin Bridge just when you give your prayer, because it inspires me for the day. So here at Columbia, UT Austin, USC, they're all having all these fiery protests and violence and all that. Yeah. Over at Liberty University, private Christian school in Lynchburg, Virginia, they had a massive gathering the other night. It largely went unnoticed, but as hundreds and hundreds of kids just prayed, they gathered and they prayed for our country. They prayed for one another. And Mark, funny thing happened over at Liberty.
Yeah.
There were no arrests. There were no anti-Israeli or pro-Hamas sentiments.
Mm.
They just joined together to pray, worship, and read the Bible. Wow, what a contrast. Huh?
Go figure. As we talk about sides and where, we should all look in the mirror and say, ask what side we're on. Whenever you and I have talked about Trump VP, got your wish list. I vacillate between DeSantis, J.D. Vance. I don't know. Got a fave or just let's just wait and have him pick it?
Oh, I got a fave, all right. I got one person. I've been saying it for a year, and it's the dream ticket, and it's Ron DeSantis.
Okay, gotcha. Now that they're talking again, I mean, that would be so awesome. And it's funny, yes, can they both run from the same state? They can, but the electors can only vote for one, so Trump would have to change his state of residency. In view of recent events, isn't there something poetic about Trump changing his residency to New York?
Delicious irony. Real irony.
So here's the thing I want to ask you, because Lord knows we've had a space cleared out in the VP buzz because ain't nobody talking about Kristi Noem anymore. Good grief. What a moron. Even if there's the sliver of justification for giving the dog the train station treatment, you don't brag about it in your stupid book. Enough about that. It's not what I'm talking about. What I do want to ask you about is Tulsi Gabbard. Her new book is For Love of Country, leave the Democrat Party behind. She's on Fox every 10 minutes. Is it intriguing? Is she a neat lady? Is it intriguing? It is. I distance from it because she is still liberal on like a couple of things. She is still pro-choice, I'm sure. She is probably pro, you know, weed legalization, all that nonsense. And I don't think we need her. It would be a bit. It's a half-court shot. I think the only reason for Trump to sort of reach partially across a line or two is if he can't win with a conservative VP. And I believe he can. So what's your thought on this wave today of Tulsi news? Because God bless her. I love her. She's great. But no.
We ought to consider very strongly the active role that Trump's VP is going to have to play. Yeah. First of all, especially over the next few months where he's going to get – he's facing convictions.
Yep.
And he's still chained to courtrooms, and so he can't campaign. So when he announces that vice presidential running mate – is going to be very active in a way we've never really seen a vice presidential running mate.
Most of them don't play. Yep.
So they have to play a role. And you got to look very seriously when you're looking at anybody who's in the ballpark of 80 years old at what would happen if the unthinkable happened. All right. So then consider President Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah. You have to think it that way. I mean, listen, I'm completely comfortable with President Ron DeSantis.
Yep.
I am not comfortable with President Tulsi Gabbard for the reasons you've stated. Go study her. Go look at her record. Go look at her record on life. Go look at her record on guns. Go look at her record on the fundamental things that conservatives believe in.
Yep.
She's attractive. She's appealing.
And she's come across on a couple of things. She's come to her senses on a few things, and good for her in a Bill Maher, or, you know, kind of way.
But you don't want her to be president.
No,
and,
I do.
I mean, that's like saying John Fetterman could be president.
Yeah, for being right on Israel. Exactly.
He's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. There's some things you can say, oh, I kind of like where he stands on. You don't want him to be president of the United States. And incidentally, he won't be. This is an interesting dynamic, Mark. Who does he hurt more? Does RFK Jr. hurt?
I go back and forth all the time. Because you have to ask. Exactly. So here's the thing. If you are a disaffected Biden voter, what makes RFK Jr. look better to you? I think the answer is, I think maybe older voters, an old school Democrat, a Democrat that's not out of his flipping mind on a number of things. So maybe that's a Biden voter who might turn RFK Jr. What about our side, though? Who are the Republicans? Do the Never Trumpers like RFK Jr.? No. Do the moderate squishes like RFK Jr.? Maybe. So I don't know. And so since I can define a portion of Democrat America, 5-7% that might have an RFK Jr. affinity, I think maybe he might hurt Biden a smidge more. Maybe.
You introduced me to a Republican who says they like RFK Jr., and I guarantee you it's over one issue and one issue alone, and that's the vaccine.
Vaccine hesitancy,
That's all it is. And they love that. And incidentally, I kind of do too. He challenged the narratives a long time ago, and he's very consistent on that. It's a little bit like Fetterman on Israel.
Yep.
There's nothing Fetterman represents that I would agree with except his strong stance for Israel. Yep. And you see these punks go up to Fetterman, this hulking guy with his hoodie on, and he's sitting on a bench, and they're in his face rolling a video camera, and he's saying, I'm with Israel. Go talk to somebody else.
Exactly.
Get away.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They could tell, like, this is not your typical, like, little short 5'6".
No.
I mean, he looks like a pro wrestler, and especially with the wardrobe he favors.
Exactly.
And so even the girl is like, I'm in your district. It's almost like she said, please don't hit me.
Yep.
Please don't jump at me. But he wasn't having anything to do with it. But listen, this ought to transcend politics, Mark.
Yes.
This is not, when you talk about a side, you want to talk about what side to take? It's not right versus left. It's good versus evil.
I thought of you. Do you know what happened at UCLA? First of all, UCLA is where that now very famous young man was blocked from going into a building by Jew-hating monsters. But at UCLA, somebody paid for, and we need a fundraising effort to do this on every campus, paid for a massive video screen to be rolled onto the campus of UCLA, where the video massive screen then showed about 45 minutes of the Hamas atrocities that you have seen.
It's the video that I saw at the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. Now, it's smart, and a lot of people have said that to me. Why isn't that shown? Mm-hmm. Israel's position is it's too painful for the surviving family members. Remember something. Though, when you see the videos of those kids laying there dead at the Nova Music Festival, That's somebody's daughter.
Yep.
That's somebody's son. That's somebody's brother and sister. So I get it. On the other hand, sadly,
yep.
I think the point is too important.
I do
and
too.
People have got to remember. You got to know what you're defending. You're going to go yep. around, say, Intifada now and hanging Intifada
and
banners.
And these kids, yes, these kids are saying that October 7th did not happen. Everybody's uh-huh. entitled to whatever side they want. You're even allowed to be radical on some side or another. They said that October 7th did not happen. That's the depth of their mental illness.
Well, right, they're saying protests aren't really happening the way they are happening on college campuses yep. right now. They're pretending they're all peaceful. Here we go again. It's
mostly
like George
peaceful.
Floyd riots.
Yeah,
peaceful protests. Yeah. These are peaceful fires.
Yep.
These are peaceful broken windows. Holy moly. All right. Happy Tuesday, my friend.
Happy Tuesday. We are ready for you. That Mike Gallagher Show is ready to crank up as soon as we're done at 10 right here on 660 AM The Answer.
You see, I'm nobody's baby.
Let us head across the pond.
I wonder.
To England in 1940 with Nat Gonella and his orchestra and I'm Nobody's Baby. There was a British band leader. I mean, of course, we had our Artie Shaw and our Benny Goodman, and we had all, you know, Duke Ellington, all kinds of things going on. But as Europe plunged into war, and England in particular was pretty tense, folks just gravitated toward the dance floors for just a bit of a release, if you will. And so there are just a bunch of British band leaders, and their stuff is pretty great. So here's old Nathaniel Gonella, and I'm Nobody's Baby. Alrighty, I'm Nobody's Fool. I'm going to get on out of this hour and jump into the next and start grabbing calls, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer. Happy Tuesday.